the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've been going back through this series, this idea of blast from the past, of looking at these common stories that we knew as kids and were foundational as kids, but maybe we've kind of lost some of that. And so if you're new here or if you've been coming here, you know, like I'm normally about 45 minutes. That's about what I got, all right? My wife told me last week, if I cut out all the jokes, I can get it down to 35. So no jokes today, all right? This is serious. No laughing, no having fun, and let's just get through the word. She's not even listening. Oh, that was a joke, sorry. Worst case scenario handbook. I don't know if it's something you guys have picked up, but for some reason, these two guys sat around and they came up with what they deemed are worst case scenarios. And they have written a book about how to survive these worst case scenarios. It goes from like sinking in a car that, you know, that's going underwater, or if your parachute doesn't open, or if you're attacked by an alligator, or I mean, if you fall into quicksand. And they've taken the time to actually write this stuff out and to give us a handbook. Now, for most of us, and really probably all of us, that's not gonna happen to us, right? Like, because you have to put yourself in that situation for the parachute to not open. Like, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. And it's funny because most of these stories that they give you in the handbook, it kind of follows this pattern of the first step is always stay calm, right? You jump out of an airplane and your parachute doesn't open, and the first step to do is stay calm. That's not the first step that comes to my mind, but they say that's the first step. Stay calm. Think about it. Deploy your backup parachute. All right. If that doesn't work, hopefully you jumped with somebody. You can make your way to them in the air and hook onto them. I don't know. If you're attacked by an alligator, if you find yourself in that scenario, the first thing they say to do is what? Stay calm. Not what I'm going to do, but okay. Stay calm. Don't wrestle it. Done. Not doing that either. Okay. It says to, you know, back away if you can, walk away, make yourself bigger. But if you do get bit, if you do find yourself in the attack, go for the sensitive areas, the eyeballs and the snout. If you fall into quicksand, stay calm. Don't fight against it. The more you fight, the faster you fall down into the quicksand. And what we're reading in this story today is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they are faced with a fiery furnace. And honestly, there's not a step-by-step thing when you're faced with this scenario. And what we're looking at is it starts in Daniel chapter 2. And this king, Nebuchadnezzar, side note, this is not a joke, but side note, last week I kind of went off script and I talked about the handwriting on the wall. Y'all remember that? And I said Nebuchadnezzar, and an elder who was going to remain nameless when we were meeting this week, Pastor Mike told me, hey, you got that name wrong. It was Belshazzar. Set the story straight. He admonished me. He gave me 2 demerits. And that makes me at like 942 demerits in 4 years. He lovingly said, hey, got the name wrong. And I said, hey, well, I went off script and that's really where it went. And so Pastor Mike, as always, but today you can rest assured we are talking about Nebuchadnezzar, all right? So Nebuchadnezzar is the king. And what's interesting is in Daniel chapter 2, he has a dream. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He can't interpret it. Daniel is the one who interprets it. It's about this big statue and how all of this thing's going to, bad thing's going to happen. And Nebuchadnezzar, instead of going, okay, that's probably a warning, Nebuchadnezzar goes, man, I really like the idea of a big statue. Like, that really sounds good. So what he does is he has people build this 90-foot tall, 9-foot wide golden statue of himself. Like, 90 feet tall, like, to try to imagine that. It's like the size from the Cowboy Stadium, you know, their Jumbotron thing, the largest one. From there to the roof where the next Super Bowl banner's never going to hang, that's about 90 feet. That was serious. That's not a joke, right? I'm joking. This year is y'all's year. But like 90 feet tall, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, golden statue. And he's like, all right, now what we're going to do is when all the instruments play, everyone's going to bow down and worship. Sounds like a great plan if you're the king, right? Even though he's just been warned, hey, don't do this thing because it's going to lead to your downfall. And what we're looking at today is these three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they refused to bow down. And I think for us, a lot of times when we tell this story, and when we tell these Old Testament stories, we always put the climaxes at the end, right? David and Goliath. The climax is him defeating Goliath, but the climax is really the years that he spent in the field cultivating a relationship with the Lord. Daniel in the lion's den gets miraculously delivered and saved, and we're like, man, that is so good. And we neglect the 70 to 80 years that he walked with the Lord faithfully, prayed 3 times a day. And if we're not careful, the same thing will happen with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll think that the climax of the story is how they were thrown into the fire, but yet they were not burned up. But what if today the greatest victory was not that they survived the fire? What if it's that when they stood there and they faced it, they still said that God is good? Faith is not just believing that God can. Faith is trusting God when he doesn't. For us, when we face this fire, this furnace, a lot of times we pray, God, would you get me out of this? But the question we should be asking ourselves is, will I remain faithful when I stand before that furnace? Today's main idea is this: God is able, God is good, God is worthy, no matter the outcome. Those first three are fun to say, right? God is able, God is good, God is worthy. That last part, I put that on there just for me, no matter the outcome. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied. Right? So they chose not to bow down. He calls them forth. Hey, they're saying you're not going to bow down. And here's what they say. They're like, he's like, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into this furnace. And then at what point, like, what God will be able to deliver you? And here's what he says in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. We do not need to defend ourselves before you. I love that confidence. I mean, I would like to think that I have that confidence facing that fiery, blazing furnace. Nebuchadnezzar says essentially, hey, bow or burn. Worship me or walk into the furnace. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they're faced with this, they say, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Like they're not, he's like, hey, I want you to bow or you're going to burn. They don't go, hey, can we consult amongst ourselves first? Can we pray about this one? Can we give us a few days and then let us decide? They immediately reply, we're not going to bow. Even if you throw us into that furnace, we're never going to bow. verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. I mean, I can imagine how they probably said, your majesty. You know, like go ahead. We're not going to burn. And even if you throw us in there, he has the ability to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship you, your majesty. I mean, I know how I would say it like that. You know, I'd be real snarky. He is able to save us. God is able. And what I like about this word is that word able, it means being capable, having the power or capacity to do something. Like they don't say, we do not need to defend ourselves if we're thrown into the fire, right? Our God is able to save us. They don't go, man, let's just take our luck with the furnace. Maybe God has the power. Maybe he has the ability. Maybe he has the capacity to save us. Maybe God's going to get lucky. No, they say God has the power. He has the ability. He has the capability to deliver us and to save us. Essentially, they're saying, Nebuchadnezzar, you may have power, but you are not all powerful. And this is where faith begins. Faith begins when we see the size of our problem in light of the size of our God. Because what usually happens, this is just me because y'all don't do this, but when trouble comes, that problem gets elevated pretty high and pretty quickly, right? You don't have to nod because you don't do that. It's just me that does that. And that becomes all that I can think about. That little problem that seems so big to me. Why? Because I've allowed it to consume my thoughts. I'm trying to go about my day, but that's all that I keep coming back to. And what do? I go to that worst case scenario. But once again, that's just me, so y'all don't have to worry about that. We elevate this problem, and we minimize God. We don't do it intentionally. But the way that, instead of looking at that furnace going, oh man, God is good, we go, man, this is big. But these men, they're standing in front of a blazing furnace. They see the same fire everyone else sees, but they just see it differently. I think sometimes we can be taught that, especially in church, it's this idea of positive thinking, or let's, it's really not that big of a deal. You know, like the fire, it's really not hot, or what you're going through, that worry, it's really not that big of a deal. And we try to minimize that so that we feel better about ourselves. But I think where faith really starts is where we don't deny the size of the furnace. We don't deny that it says that it was 7 times hotter than it's ever been. Faith is not denying that. It's just choosing to see it differently. We don't want to deny the diagnosis or the debt, the broken relationship, the disappointment, the uncertainty, the grief, the worry, the fear, the doubt. Like, that's not what we're saying. It's looking at that fire and going, I see that fire. I see that furnace. But my God is greater than that. Faith is not allowing us to see the size of the problem and allowing that to lower the size of our God. Faith is when we declare that nothing is out of reach of God. God is able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't say, hey, we're not going to bow. We'll go ahead and burn. And if you throw us in there, our God is able. It's not something that they just came up with. It's something that they've settled on. And the truth is that some of us have been staring at our furnace for so long that we've forgotten to look at God. Before we ask, what is God going to do? Maybe we need to remember, who is like God? Because he is powerful. He is sovereign. He is able. He is faithful. He's not threatened by what threatens you. He's not overwhelmed by what overwhelms you. He's not looking at your situation going, man, Mike, I didn't see that one coming. What are we going to do here, Mike? He's looking at it going, man, I am able, I am good, and I am worthy. What is your furnace? What are you standing before today? And all you have to do is just name it and then end it with this: but God is able. Man, I feel hopeless, but God is able. Man, that debt is real, but God is able. This grief is overwhelming at times, but God is able. This relationship seems too far gone, but God is able. We can't just say it. We can't just name it. We have to finish it with, but God is able. The God that we serve is able. He's able to rescue, able to provide, able to heal, able to restore, able to redeem, able to make a way, able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. One person is excited about that, man. God is able does not mean that God is obligated. You think about Jesus in the garden. He's about to go to the cross. He's resisting like the temptation so much that he's sweating drops of blood. And he prays the most honest prayer. He says, God, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, would you take this cup from me? But not my will be done, but yours. God is able does not mean that God is obligated. God is able. God is good. God is worthy, no matter the outcome. Number one, God is able. We have to believe in his power. Number two, God is good. We have to trust his plans. And look at what it says, verse 17, we started there. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Verse 18, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Our God is able. Our God is good. He is able to save us. He will rescue us. We will never bow down. Our God is able. Our God is good. He can save us. He can rescue us. But even if. Now those words, it might seem like minimal in this story, but even if, like those are like, in my mind, can you imagine standing before the furnace that the king Nebuchadnezzar is saying, you're going to bow or you're going to burn? And they say, no, our God will rescue us. He is able to save us. And here's where courage comes in. But even if. Because that's the hard part. The hard part is to go, God is able, and that God is good, and that I trust his plans, but even if he doesn't. H- It's one thing to believe that God can. It's another thing to trust God when he chooses not to do what we know that he can do. Think about how, once again, not you, but me, how I pray. I have a problem, and so I go to the Lord and I say, all right, Lord, here's the problem. And here's when I need you to handle this by. And here's how I think you could do it. Right? And then we have the boldness to go, in Jesus' name. And you're like, that was all in my name, actually, how I had that planned out. All right, we have this, we say, God, you are so good. But to say that means, God, I trust you. Even though you are able to do everything and nothing is outside of your reach, I trust you when you don't do what I know that you can do. And then when God does graciously do it, we celebrate it, don't we? When he does it, what we assume to be our way and in our timing and for our good, we celebrate that. But what about those times when he doesn't? When the prayers aren't answered in the way that you prayed, or the door stays closed, or the healing doesn't come, or the job doesn't work out. When God says no, our God is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, but even if, I think sometimes we've allowed that to almost seem like immature faith, or that we don't believe that God is able to do it. No, what it is, it's actually mature faith that says, I know that you can do this. I know that you can save me. You are able and you are good. I know that, but even if you don't, but even if, it's not a lack of faith. What it is it's a decision that says that God's goodness is not on trial. I know that you're able to do this, but even if you don't, you're still good. I mean, like we get to read Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego like from the other side where they were delivered from the furnace. And we get to look at it and go, man, God is good. Right? God is good. He saved them. He delivered them. But what about in Acts where Stephen, the first martyr for the Christian faith, who said was full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, declared the goodness and the greatness of God, declared the gospel, he gets stoned. And you're like, him? He was full of wisdom, full of faith, full of the Spirit. And he gets stoned, and yet God is still good. Faith, mature faith, is when we trust him when he doesn't do what we know that he can do. Faith says God is able, and trust says God is good. Faith says God could change this. Trust says God knows what I cannot see. God can rescue us, but even if. God can deliver us, but even if. God can change this, but even if. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they know what God can do, but they refuse to tell God what he must do. Even if he doesn't. Our God is able. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. even if their allegiance isn't changing. Like, that's bold faith. Like, you almost want to say, like, but even if, that seems like weak, like I'm lowering the standard. Like, if God doesn't come through, then maybe he's really not good. But they're saying, hey, we're not going to bow because he's able to save us. He will rescue us. But if he doesn't, we're willing to die. That's pretty mature faith. Their obedience was not dependent upon God's performance. Because sometimes we unknowingly make our relationship with him transactional. If you give me the answers to this test that I didn't study for, looking at you, Jocelyn, you give me the answers to this test, now she studies, then I will tell everybody about you. I won't be a jerk at school. If you just come through in this way, if you answer this prayer, I'll praise you forever. If you fix this situation, then I will serve you. If the Longhorns win the championship this year, then I will give you my fourth child, right? Like, took her a minute, right? Like we say all these things, like, man, if you will just do this, then I will do that. If you give me that job, then I will do this. If you'll just give me $1 million, then I'll just give half of it to the church. If you just give me this, then I'll do that. If you give me this boat, then I'll just tell everybody on the lake about you, Jesus, right? Give me this new car, and I'll show everybody how good you are. If you heal me of this disease, I won't stop telling anybody about you. And what we've done is we've made our relationship with Jesus, with God, transactional. If you do this for me, then I will do this for you. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go, God is able, God is good, God is worthy, no matter the outcome. Faith doesn't mean that I understand everything that God is doing. But it means that I trust him. Romans 8:28 says that he works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. The problem is what we interpret to be good, isn't it? He works all things for our good and for his glory. What you think might not be good is actually good. When these men say this, he can save us, he will rescue us, but even if he doesn't, they don't know what's about to happen. But it doesn't matter, because God's goodness is not on trial. Mature faith doesn't demand information before it offers obedience. If my faith depends on God giving me every outcome that I want, then every unanswered prayer becomes a crisis of faith. Look at Paul. Paul prayed 3 times, he says, for this thorn in his side to be removed. 3 times. This is Paul, not Levi that's asking the Lord this, right? This is Paul. Paul wrote most of this stuff in the New Testament. Paul, Lord, would you remove this from me? 3 times. And the Lord doesn't. But instead he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul said, would you remove it? And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And so then Paul later writes, I will boast even more in my weakness, for the power of Christ to be revealed through me. What if the thing that you're asking God to change is the very place where God wants to change you? What if you're asking him to remove you from the fire? But he is actually trying to teach you how to trust him in it. God is able. God is good. But even if, don't lower the standard of our prayers though. But even if doesn't mean that I go, well, I'm not going to pray for healing. The Lord already knows, and he won't heal me anyways. He's going to teach me something through this. No. We pray boldly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they prayed boldly. And they had the mature faith to go, but even if not, I'm not going to bow before those gods or your golden statue. Maybe God isn't giving you an explanation, but maybe he's inviting you to trust him in the middle of this. God is able. God is good. God is worthy. No matter the outcome. This last one here, sing his praises, right? So believe his power, trust his plans, and sing his praises. Eventually, what starts in our head has to come out of our mouth. We can't just believe his power in our head and we trust his plans in our heart and we sing his praises with our mouth. Now Nebuchadnezzar throws them in there. He's so furious with them that they won't bow down before him. He says, I want you to make it 7 times hotter, bind them up and everything that they're wearing, their turbans, their robes, all of the things, bind them up and throw them in. It says that he got the strongest men from his army to bind them up. And as they go to throw them in, the fire consumed the men that were throwing them in. Now, that should have been probably the first clue to like, hey, let's slow down just a minute. Like, what just happened? These guys went in. They didn't get burned up, but the other guys got close enough, and they got burned. But no, Nebuchadnezzar, he's mad. Have you ever, like, gotten mad and, like, seen red, and you're like, you know, you calm down. You're like, what the heck was I thinking? Right? That's what happens to Nebuchadnezzar. He loses the strongest men in his army also. They get burned up. They're thrown in there with their clothes, their turbans, the robes, all their other garments. He looks in there and he says, were there not 3 men bound? And like the people are like, yeah, king, you know, you saw it, we did it. And he says, because I see what looks, there's a fourth man and it looks like a god or looks like a son of God. And so Nebuchadnezzar says that he runs as close as he can to the fire. And he calls out, come here, come out. And they do. I like what it says. He said, did we not throw 3 men bound into the fire? Yes, your majesty. Look, I see 4 men not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed. I think for me, one thing that I've missed quite a few times, but this week as I was going through that, they're walking around in the fire unharmed. Now, let's just imagine you're thrown into a fire. Are you walking around in it? The answer is no. You're running, right? You're trying to get out. And these men are walking in the fire. And what a beautiful testimony of when we go through something, there's a fourth man there that allows us to walk with a peace and a steadiness. When trials come, we don't have to freak out. When trials come, we don't have to try to hurry up and figure it out. And we can walk through the fire. Goes back to the worst case scenario handbook. First thing you do is what? Remain calm. If you're ever thrown in a furnace, remain calm. Probably not the best advice I've given. They were bound, but now they're walking free. They went tied up, but they came out set free. And what looked like was going to destroy them actually became the place that displayed his presence. The fire did not consume them. The fire consumed what was binding them. the fire did not destroy them. It revealed him. It burned off the ropes, but not them. Didn't singe their hair, it says. Didn't mess up their clothes. They didn't even smell like fire. So what if that God is able and God is good and God is worthy? What if sometimes the fire that you go through is to burn off the things that are binding you? But yet we're bound up and we're going through fire and you're like, I got to get out of here. I got to hurry up. But what if the fire's purpose was to burn off that which binds you? Sometimes God's grace will deliver you from the fire. Sometimes God's grace will deliver you in the fire. And sometimes God's grace delivers you beyond the fire. But it doesn't change the fact that God is able, that God is good, and God is worthy, no matter the outcome. Probably to me, they didn't even smell like smoke. I mean, have you ever been around a person that had a campfire going? And you're like, hey, Johnny, were you around a campfire like in 2017? Because I can still smell it, right? Like, I mean, you're just around a campfire and it's like, man, no matter what you do. And they were in the fire. They didn't even smell like it. God is able. God is good. God is worthy no matter the outcome. And I love it. The story ends with Daniel in the lion's den in the same way. Where they thought they had won, and then it comes out, and he says, hey, here's a new decree. Nobody talk bad about the God of Daniel. And here, what started off as a decree that says you must bow to this 90-foot golden statue whenever you hear all the music, now it ends with Nebuchadnezzar going, nobody say a bad word about the God of those three guys. What was meant to direct their worship at him directed a lot more people's worship to the Lord. The king wanted the furnace to prove his greatness. And the irony is that God used the furnace to prove who was greater. And that means sometimes the fire that you're desperately trying to escape may become the very place where someone else sees Jesus. Man, that one's a good one there. This right side didn't get it. Let me try it. The fire that you're trying to escape might be the very place that someone else sees Jesus. Are they going to see you walking around, or are they going to see you like a chicken with your head cut off? The key verse, like for us, like this idea, they said, the God whom we serve is able. So like, not hey, the God that my grandma called me about, talked to me about, not the God that we've heard of, not the God that I occasionally, visit, not that God, the God whom we serve, the God whom we give our allegiance to, the God whom we walk with, the God whom we trust, he is able to save us. So many times we want those big, exciting moments. We want the lion's den. We want the fire. We want Goliath. And we forget about all the things that led up to that. And then we get to the fire. We get to the giant. We get to the lion's den. And we get burned. We get eaten. And we don't defeat the giant. And we're like, Lord, I thought you were able. I thought you were good. And I thought you were worthy. And he's like, I am. Where have you been? They served me. They walked with me. They had relation with me. They knew who I was. They didn't just have a casual knowledge of him. And here's what I like. I can geek out on some of these things. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said that God is able, God is good, and God is worthy, no matter the outcome. And look at where they are in exile. They're not in their own homeland. They've been separated. They've been given another diet to eat, another school to go to, another way of life to learn. They've been given new names, and yet they still say those things. God is able, God is good, God is worthy. And listen to this, Abednego, his name is Azariah. Yahweh has helped. God is good. God is able. Shadrach, his name is Hananiah. Yahweh has been gracious. God is worthy. Meshach is Michelle, who is like Yahweh. God is able. God is good. God is worthy, no matter the outcome. I didn't make it in 35 minutes. That Cowboys joke got me. Your homework, your assignment this week is one, believe. Name your impossible. Name your worst case scenario. Write it down and pray over it. Quit talking about it. Quit thinking about it. Quit posting about it. Pray over it. Finish the sentence. This is the impossible, but God is able. Trust Him. What situation this week do you need to release the outcome of? Our obedience is not dependent on God's performance. Don't let bitterness take root. Romans 8:28, He works all things for our good, for His glory. And this week, worship. Worship Him before the fire. Worship is not tied to who He, worship is tied to who He is, not our preferred outcome. So that means that we can always worship because He is always worthy. God is able to deliver me. God is good when I cannot understand. And God is worthy when I do not receive what I hoped for. Therefore, I will not bow. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You. We thank You for Your word. And I just pray that You would breathe and speak life into that. Even this week, as we continue to go through this on our own, I pray that You would just reveal things to us. Let our lives declare that You are able, that You are good, and You are worthy. In Your name we pray. Amen.